from Jonah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Throughout our study of Luke's gospel, we have heard over and over again Christ fulfilling old covenant prophecies. And we have an example here from Jonah in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So let this word be to our comfort. Jonah 2, 1 through 10. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with the song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Brothers and sisters, arise and hear the good news. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ took our sins upon himself in death, even a death on the cross. He was buried for our sake and rose anew on the third day. Because of his death and resurrection, we are no longer in our sins. So all those united to Jesus Christ in baptism, holding fast to him by faith and keeping covenant with him, God himself promises you that in Christ you are forgiven, you are free, you are servant sons united to Jesus Christ, set apart for eternal life. Believe this and rejoice. Amen. Let us respond to God's salvation in Christ by singing unto him. In Christ, we are able to come before God the Father in the heavenly places with our hearts open, with all our desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid. And we submit ourselves humbly to the Word, that we may love God by keeping his commandments. So as you hear God's Word this day, respond in faith, that we may perfectly love God and magnify his glorious name through Jesus Christ. God's will for life this morning is taken from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 23. These are the words of God. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us go to him now in prayer and ask for his Spirit's blessing upon the reading and proclamation of his word. Will you pray with me? O Lord, who art our good God and lawgiver, since it hath pleased thee to call us to the fellowship of those whom thou hast ordained to salvation, give us hearts that we may earnestly employ ourselves in magnifying thy holy name, that living under thy defense, we may be always more and more assured of a new and joyful life, which you will give to all your own because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We come to you now, Lord, as living sacrifices, desiring to be shaped and changed by your Spirit according to the image of your Son. Speak to us now by your Spirit. Open up our ears that we may hear you. Give us minds to understand and hearts to love. And move within us, Lord, by your Spirit, joyful souls, to respond to your grace, going forth into the world, proclaiming your gospel of your glorious kingdom. Now may the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. Our sermon text this morning continues in our sermon series in the Gospel according to St. Luke. We'll actually start in chapter 23, verse 56, the second half of verse 56 through 24, verse 12. So Luke 23, 56b through Luke 24, verse 12. Luke 23, verse 56. Brothers and sisters, the word of God is being read in your hearing. Hear it with faith, and do not harden your hearts. But they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of his holy and infallible word. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, the two most famous and popular holidays on the Christian calendar are Christmas and Easter. Christmas, where we celebrate the Son of God coming in his grace and being born in human flesh. Easter, where we celebrate the Son of God rising from the grave for salvation and the rebirth of the human race. Now, I know it's Easter, but I figured you came here this morning to hear a Christmas message, right? Not so much. But actually, the snow threw me off. Actually, there is a part of the Christmas story that speaks directly to the resurrection of our Lord, and I think it's appropriate to hear this morning. In Luke 2, where Joseph and Mary brought their firstborn son, the baby Jesus, to the temple to present him to the Lord, we remember Simeon. Simeon offered a prophecy concerning the salvation of Israel and in the baby Christ, and he said, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed." Simeon saw the baby Jesus, and by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, "This child has been appointed, has been set apart for the fall and the rising of many in Israel." The fall and rising. And this child would be a sign to be opposed. Sound relevant to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ was and is the precious cornerstone that the builders rejected. Simeon's prophecy foretold that Jesus would be opposed by many, and he would be opposed unto death. Jesus truly was the rock of offense. And what Simeon foretold in the falling and rising of many included those in Jesus' day. Many rejected Jesus and they fell in judgment. They rejected their Messiah. They rejected their Savior. They died in their sins. But by God's grace, others accepted him, received him, and worshiped him as Lord. Yes, they fell in death. They died. They're in the grave this day. But they repented. They turned from darkness unto light. They did fall in death to themselves, but rose by the power of the Holy Spirit unto Christ. Not everyone completely rejected Jesus. Everyone did desert him in his crucifixion, and we remembered that last Friday. But many found repentance and forgiveness in Christ. And as the Church of Christ, of course, we recognize today that Jesus Christ is seen as a rock of offense, a stone of stumbling. The gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God are opposed by many today. It is seen as foolishness. God cannot come in the flesh. You believe in God? How can God be a person? Crazy Christians? And even if God does exist, how can God die? And how can a man conquer the grave after he is dead? How can he rise to life again? It's foolishness. Many today reject Christ and they reject his gospel. And in so doing, they fall in judgment and they stand condemned before God. Because of the cross. Because of the resurrection. Because of the empty tomb. Because of Jesus. They fall because of Jesus. They fall because of who he is and what he came to do are too difficult to accept. To their own falling. But to those who accept him by faith, he is our fall and our rise. He is our death to sin and our rising to live a new life of holiness. Jesus is our promised resurrection upon his glorious return. Do you fear death? Do you fear the grave? Because in Christ Jesus, you don't need to fear death in the grave. He promises you a resurrection from the dead that he carried out 2,000 years ago. Just as Christ rose from the dead, those in him will rise when he returns. That's why we can confess with joy and with faith, O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Because Christ has paved the way for us, and he will raise us on the last day. Simeon was right. Jesus was appointed for the fall in many, and the fall and rise in many in Israel in his day. And what he did 2,000 years ago, what he's done the last 2,000 years, and what he still does today, is bring many to death to sin and to new life in his resurrection. Amen. Can I have the kids come forward for the children's message, please? All right. Looking good. No, I'm just kidding. Can I see your eyes on me, please?
Psst. Thanks. Eyes.
Can I see your eyes? All right. Good morning. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Good job. All right. Who can raise their hand and tell me what's special about today? Well, don't blur it out. Raise your hand. Lennox?
It's Easter.
It's Easter. Who can raise their hand and tell me what is another name for today? You want me to call on you, don't you? Sit down, please. Okay, Jack, what is another name for today? Not Easter, also Easter, but big word, starts with an R. Can you say resurrection? Say it, resurrection. Everybody, say resurrection.
Resurrection.
It's Resurrection Sunday. And who can raise their hand and tell me what's special about the resurrection?
Dad.
Julie?
Jesus rose from the dead.
Jesus rose from the dead. Very good. Not right now. And the resurrection is so important to us, it tells us that we're not in our sins anymore. Okay, can I see your eyes on me? We're not in our sin anymore. Now, when on Sunday morning, we heard from Luke 24 that when the women went to the tomb, who can raise their hand and tell us, what did they find in the tomb? Caleb?
Jesus was gone.
Jesus was gone. The tomb was
empty.
There was no one there. There was no body. If Jesus were dead, he would still be there, right? His body would still be there. But he wasn't there, so he's not dead. He is risen. He is risen?
He has risen.
Good job. Okay. Now, who can raise their hand and tell me, what did the women do? I haven't even finished my question yet. Just be patient, Jack. After the women found the empty tomb, what did they do? Jesus is God. Very good. Evan, what did the women do? Went and told his disciples. They saw the tomb. They saw it empty. And they ran and told the disciples. Okay? So I want to give you a little test today. I want to ask you, you can raise your hand if you want to give this a try. I want you to pretend that you were with the women that Easter morning and you saw the empty tomb and you went with them to tell the disciples. Raise your hand. What would you say to the disciples? Lennox, what would you say?
Jesus is gone.
Jesus is gone. That's a good start. Who can add on to that? Paige?
He's alive.
He's alive. What else could we add to that?
Me.
Jesus has risen. Ollie? No, forgot? Any others? Okay, so empty tomb. Jesus is gone. He is risen. Okay, now, going forth from there, who can raise their hand and tell me, why does that matter? Let me ask you a different question. Why does the resurrection of Jesus Christ, why does his rising again, why is it so important? Yeah, just keep saying that. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Why is it important? He's our Savior. Saved from what? Saving us from our sins. Is that what you were going to say? Something along those lines? That's exactly right. Jesus is our Savior, and his rising from the grave, his rising from the dead, saves us from our
sins.
We're not in our sins anymore. Praise the Lord. So when we say, hold on, I'm almost done. When we say, he is risen, we are rejoicing that we are saved from our sins. So we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about God's punishment. Jesus took that for us. Hold on. So, when we go forth today, I want you all, kiddos, eyes on me, I want you all to be ready to share that with somebody. Okay? If someone comes up to you and says, why does the resurrection matter? Why do you go to church on Sunday morning? Why does his rising from the dead have anything to do with me? You can say, Jesus is my, and he did what? Saved us from our sins. Amen? Amen. Let's pray and ask God.
I'm asking you a question.
Okay, after we pray. Okay, let's pray. Please repeat after me. Father in heaven, thank you for your love and sending your Son to die for our sins. Help us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit to live new lives and to be ready to tell others about your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, kiddos, you can head back to your seats.
Try to just go to the
dog. I know. He'll be back soon. Okay.
Titus fell and split his chin open this morning. So Trevor, it's been in his heart and his mind. So he had to tell me. We've had a challenging last month or so here at Hamline. We've had many in our church family and extended church family in situations of suffering. We had a death in our church. A sister went to be with the Lord. We had death in our greater family. We've had several with operations and challenging health situations, some life-threatening. And this is not just for Hamline, obviously, for all those here. When we are in these situations of suffering, we can feel lost and helpless. Whether it is adversity with health, relationships, maybe trials with employment, specific challenges in our lives, even death, we face suffering. God promised us suffering. A servant is not greater than his master. Jesus suffered. We will suffer. If I am a servant of Christ, I know that I will suffer. And Jesus exhorted us to endure and to persevere through suffering. So how can we endure through suffering? Especially when that suffering is so heavy, daily weighing down our hearts, souls, minds, and bodies. Our suffering might be temporary, might be a season in our lives. Some are called to suffer all their lives. So what do? We look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We look to the one who endured unimaginable suffering. Look to the one who was tempted in every way that we are, but did not sin. Look to the one who learned obedience through suffering. Last time we were gathered for worship, on Friday we heard from God's word on Christ's suffering and death. Jesus suffered perfectly. So we grab hold of him by faith and endure suffering like he did. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. He prayed, "Father, take this cup from me." But he submitted himself to the Father's will, that he would be faithful through suffering. And in our regular daily picking up our cross and following Jesus, we confess and we ought to recognize that our lives include suffering. This is our falling part, the fall and the rise of many. This is our falling. Jesus came for the falling and rising of many. And suffering is a form of falling. Suffering is a form of death. Now, you may be thinking, "Pastor, this sounds like a Good Friday sermon. We heard this 2 days ago." It's Resurrection Sunday. Why are we talking about suffering and falling? Because suffering is real. We face suffering in this world. And at least for this church family, and probably most if not all church families, suffering is present. We're going through suffering right now. But also, remember, falling leads to rising. Darkness leads to light. Death leads to life. The cross was a brutal symbol or an instrument of death. It was a sign of shame. It was a sign of suffering. So why did the church make the cross a good symbol? Because Jesus died on it. Jesus fell on it, if you will. And after he died on it, on the third day he rose. He rose to life. He rose from the dead in his glorious resurrection. Before any of us could fall and rise, Jesus died and rose. In our following him as disciples, we suffer and we die to ourselves. We entrust ourselves to the God who judges justly, the one who works all things together for good. If God could take that cross, the wicked murder of the innocent Son of God, if he could make that good, if he could make the cross, which was a symbol of death, and turn it into a symbol of life, he can bring something good out of our suffering. So we have to entrust ourselves to him. We have to entrust ourselves to his good plan, in his promises of to raise those up who fall in Christ. On Friday, the Son of God died. Darkness fell on the land. The world that had fallen in sin and death groaned. But on the third day, Jesus rose. Jesus said, "Let there be light." After darkness comes light. And light emerged from that dark tomb and broke upon the new day, the first day of the first week of the new creation. God has forgiven us our sins in Jesus Christ. He's given us new life, and he's promised us in Christ eternal life. But this does not mean that we won't suffer. It does not mean that life will get easier. In fact, as Christians, it's the opposite. It will get harder. So what the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord do is they promise that if we fall in adversity, fall in trials and suffering, he is faithful to his promises. So, brothers and sisters, entrust yourself to him, and he will raise you again for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray.